Thank you very much, Kim Gordon.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything that you've done for humanity today, at least today.
Why such compliments today?
Because there is no Packer game on the horizon.
And yes, there is Sunday. We play the Cowboys.
But no one will pay attention to them because the Bears are in London. So
right.
No one will care.
Exactly. Oh, they probably have the late game.
Our game's in the late afternoon.
You have the game of the week probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we are.
Mm. Oh, you mm-hmm. so God.
You just take back. You're taking back everything you just said about me.
No, but they could end up 3-2. That's nice. I like that. I like that idea.
Sounds right. Real nice.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I got stuff I got to do here. There's stuff that's far more important here, because we have a state rep with us. State Rep Morgan is joining us, and he is the first guy here who's actually trying to figure out what the hell we're doing with the CBD products in the state of Illinois, because it's a mess. It's not just a mess.
It's a mess. It's a $5 billion nationwide industry. It's projected to grow to something like, according to Cranes, they have it at $24 billion by 2023. So fast growth, a lot of new products on the market, and largely unregulated.
So, and
most are entirely, we
yes.
should say.
And we should say that Bob Morgan represents a district up in the northwest suburbs, Bannockburn, Deerfield, Glencoe, Highwood, Highland Park, north and northwest suburbs. All right, so North Shore, essentially. It's basically the best way of putting that. All right, so, and that's got to be, like, first of all, the CBD thing is become a craze now because people are claiming it does everything. There isn't a single ailment or thought or fear or emotion or anything that you could have, dry skin, whatever it is, the CBD is the answer to it all, and it cannot possibly be that, can it, Bob?
No, and this is something that has really started to bubble up over the last few years as this proliferation of products and the claims that they're making, whether it's going to help you sleep at night or it's going to keep you up at night or it's going to help you pass your test or any number of claims. But my biggest concern was that there's no consistent testing. So we have these products all over the state and around the country now that are being sold because there's not a lot of guidance, really any guidance from the federal government. And it's being sold all over the place, our big box chain stores and also gas stations, farmers markets. And kids are using this, and I was very concerned and continue to be concerned that we're not testing these products.
So is it more, is it the safety angle, the safety of the products that you're most concerned about, or is it the promises made and the promised levels of CBD and that kind of thing?
It really is the safety first and foremost. My background's in healthcare and public health, and really the first thing we have to get under control is to make sure that people aren't buying products that are really unsafe, whether it's got heavy metals or pesticides or something even more dangerous like synthetic marijuana, K2 and spice that we've all seen over the last couple of years. We want to make sure that these products are safe. Beyond that, we certainly should get into labeling and any kind of false claims, but my biggest priority is to make sure that we're not getting these products into commerce. And they're going to be really risky and harmful to kids.
Has there been like a spot testing of these products to show that you're seeing it in a certain percentage? You're seeing the kinds of things that you just mentioned in these products and people buying them don't know?
You're seeing a whole spectrum. Some other states are starting to see a lot of synthetic marijuana. We obviously are having a lot of CBD vape cartridges that are now starting to be linked with some of these mysterious illnesses. So there's a lot of different stuff out there, and it's not really clear what's in it. And so for me, the first thing we really need to do is treat this like any other product, particularly the way we require in Illinois, significant testing for medical and soon-to-be recreational cannabis. Even for our locally state-grown hemp program, we require testing, and I think we should treat these products the same.
So when you can walk into a video store and buy CBD, and then you stop and you think to myself, why am I buying CBD in a video store, and what is actually in a video store right now? What am I doing here in the first place? Because the people are just there to buy the CBD. We don't know where are the distribution points here. Who's delivering that stuff to the video store to then be sold? I mean, is it some guy out of his bathtub? Is it because the product certainly seems like that in some of these cases?
It's coming from all over. A lot of this stuff, a lot, is really coming from different hemp farms from around the country and around the world. So a lot of this stuff is starting out as hemp. Most of it is not starting out as what we know as marijuana. It's this hemp that has really, really low THC. Some of it's out west. Some of the western states have been growing hemp for a while. And some of it's overseas. We have a lot of CBD products coming from China that really isn't tested. And so we're seeing a lot of that filter into our marketplace, and that's the problem. We have no idea where it's really coming from.
So what do you suggest then? Third-party testing? Would you require anybody selling CBD to have certifications? How does this play out in a way that you think would make it safer?
Yeah, that's right. From my perspective, we can't stop things from coming in from the other states. There's a lot of law behind that, and I also don't know that that's really the goal. The goal is that no matter where it's coming from, let's make sure it's being tested. If it's not being tested at all, let's make sure the state has the power to stop it. Because right now, there's no authority for the state to stop these products from coming in if they're really harmful. So as a baseline, let's make sure we're having testing, making sure we're going to treat these products like any other product. We want somebody who's going to consume it can have some confidence that it's safe.
Where is the FDA on this?
They're in the middle of rulemaking. For some of the people that are listening to the radio station, they might not know that the federal government legalized hemp in January. And that created a lot of what we're seeing, which is everyone thinks that there's just a complete green light to sell CBD products. It's completely legal. There's no restrictions. But that's not really the case. The problem is the federal government hasn't given us guidelines. My guess is, just like they do with a lot of other products, the FDA and the DEA are going to have some requirement about testing to make sure these products are safe.
But they're right out now, there now without really that safeguard is the point.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So I just don't understand how that's even possible.
Well, the other thing you hear about is that, and tell me if this is true, but that many CBD products have THC in them, even though they claim to not have any. They might have quite a powerful dose of THC.
Yeah, and we're seeing your question earlier about what are we finding in some of these tests. Some states are finding that the products they're saying they have a really, really small amount of THC. The federal law says 0.3% THC and less is legal. That's considered hemp. But they're finding some of these products are more than that. In fact, in Illinois, as we're starting to grow our hemp program, we're starting to see in other states are really struggling with this. This is just this organic plant, and sometimes it's more than 0.3% THC. And that's okay, as long as we're testing it and we're labeling it and people know what they're buying and they're working within the law. But right now, there's a huge spectrum of things that people are buying, and they don't know it.
All right. Now, speaking of buying, once this thing hits on January 1st, do you believe, State Representative, that there is enough, the guardrails are up, that there's enough understanding by both the state and then the distribution points, the people who are going to be owning these stores that are going to be selling actual THC marijuana, whether it's in, you know, for vape pens or for bud itself or whatever it is. Do you think that the rules are in place now? Will they be in place in time? Is it going to be the wild, wild west? What's going to happen here?
It's not going to be the wild, wild west. Our program for recreational starting January 1 is entirely based on the foundation we have from the state's medical cannabis program. In full disclosure, and patting myself on the back a little bit, I was the first director to implement the medical cannabis program a few years ago under the state. So I understand the way...
You're the marijuana czar. Program. It's what he is. He's the marijuana czar.
Former. Yeah. Former. State Senator Toy Hutchinson is now the pot czar. And so she's amazing. She's going to be great, and she is great. So what we did in the medical program and what we will do for recreational is, again, requiring lab testing. The whole concept is there's going to be a variety of different types of products. Some will be stronger. Some will have more CBD. Some will have more THC. But the whole point is that consumers will know what they're buying. Our lab testing is going to be incredibly strict, and there's going to be a really small pathway and spigot for where you can buy these products, because it will have to come directly from a dispensary. And there's not going to be that many of them, and they're going to be incredibly heavily regulated. So when people are buying these products after January 1, they're going to have a really good confidence that they're buying what it says on the label.
Because they're going to be buying a lot of the same product that they could already buy at a dispensary now if they had a medical marijuana card.
That's right.
Right. Same. They're coming from the same places. What do you make, since you're the former marijuana czar, that...
I'm so sorry. Keep going.
Yes. What do you make of these, you know, we just did it in the news at the bottom of the hour. What do you make of this rash of lung injuries that's going on in the vaping community? Because it does appear that it is, most of it, the vast majority of it, is linked to THC or THC/CBD products that mostly kids are using that appear to be black market. But are they?
Yeah, a lot of, and I've had a number of conversations with both the state and other states' public health departments and other legislators in other states dealing with this. And my understanding is what the CDC is finding is it's mostly labeled THC or being promised to be THC products, but not all of it has THC in it. There's yet no common link in all these different cases, other than the fact that they're vaping. So we're seeing some of it being labeled as THC, but it's not the THC itself that, as far as we can tell, it's really harmful. It's that it's being laced with a bunch of other chemicals and substances that we don't know about. Because, as you mentioned, it's coming from the illicit market. That's the only common thread.
They're not buying these things
really
in stores.
Need to attack that.
They're not buying dispensaries or whatever.
Right. None of it's coming from the Illinois Medical Cannabis Program or from the hemp program. This is stuff coming from the illicit market.
What about paying for these things? Because right now the banks are not necessarily okay with federal regulations and the federal laws to accept payment on marijuana. How's that going to go when we start with the marijuana dispensaries?
You got to pay cash.
You got to pay cash?
There's a lot of cash at the point of sale. So for the customers, you can't use traditional credit cards. That's really the problem.
Not yet.
Banking is a whole problem. Not yet, exactly. And just a few days ago, actually, the federal government, and actually the U.S. Congress, House of Representatives, sending it over to the U.S. Senate, passed really substantive changes to the banking laws that I think is going to really help open up banking relationships for marijuana businesses and marijuana purchases. Because nobody, regardless of your position on marijuana, nobody wants to see these purchases in cash. It's not safe.
Yeah.
It's no one's best interest.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, Representative, let me just say this, and let me call you Bob. Bob, the marijuana czar. I think that there are a lot of people who do want to see this in cash, and there are probably some old politicians who want to see this in cash too. I mean, you've met some of these people now. You sound like a young enough guy, but you've been in government a little bit. And you see what goes on here. You see guys who have a job that pays them $38,000 a year, and they've got $10,000 in cash in their pocket. And you're like, how did that happen?
And a $100,000 car,
right? There are questions that need to be asked, and I know the federal government's asking them, but. Will cards like this new Apple Pay card, where Apple's going to give you, it's not really a credit card, but it will actually be a card that you can go to a store and swipe or use a chip on. I mean, does that get around the federal banking rules?
No, I don't think the Apple card is going to make it any easier, as far as I can tell. But going back to your earlier point, the reason why you're wrong in wanting, and anybody wanting this to be cash, the marijuana businesses and the people that have the investments in this, they pay more because of the tax laws and because of the banking laws than they would if it were just like any other banking. So they're losing money on this. It's not a win-win. It's a total loss for everybody. So, you know,
because they have to secure the cash and all
of
that.
They gotta deposit the cash. It's hard to find a bank. The banks charge them a lot of money to have these accounts. And even then, it's just very expensive on your taxes. You can't deduct normal business deductions. It's a federal issue. And then once you have to bounce between banks, it's really hard to do, and it's really not easy, and it's very expensive.
Yeah, they're finally going to have to address this at the federal level now. I mean, there's just it's a tipping point because there's such a high percentage of the population that it has access now to recreational marijuana, medical, and then now recreational marijuana. It's just they're going to have to address. All right, well, Bob.
And our state treasurer is trying to make some good steps on that. So Treasurer Frerichs has been working on that for a few years too.
All right. State Representative Bob Morgan, the marijuana czar.
Yeah.
Now, I called you Representative Buzzkill earlier, and you're not. You're actually, you know what? He actually should be Bud Morgan is what he should be, not Bob Morgan. That's my new name for you.
Isn't that what they call them, Budristas?
Yeah, I don't think I approved any of these. I think Bob works.
Bob is okay for you.
I'll send you a whole list, and you just pick one. Circle them and send them back to me. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks, Bob.
It.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks,
there he is.
Talks. All right. Thanks.
All right. Do you feel that better now, Ro?
Oh.
It's all going to go fine?
No. I just love the whole cash component. I know that
the
representative is being very, very nice about it.
Diplomatic.
But I know in California, where it's cash only, there's already a ton of corruption.
Those guys are driving around fully armed bodyguards.
Yeah.
Out there.
Oh, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, from location to location, these guys are driving with big old trucks with two guys fully armed to get to the locations. They have a bag full of tens of thousands of dollars or whatever it is.
Right. I know. This is, and they got to make this adjustment because it is, it's almost like what it is now. Because you cannot go to your local street gang member and swipe a card.
Right. You take credit, sir. Oh,
they don't do Square.
You know, I want to tell you something. I would bet you that you would be, I'll bet you could find a street drug dealer or some guy working in a mailroom somewhere, as if there were still, who would take it on the Square.
Well, with QuickPay now.
Yeah.
Easy breezy.
Venmo.
Venmo.